Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Downtown Milwaukee, in case you haven't noticed, has been undergoing a building boom in recent years. From completed projects like the Northwestern Mutual Tower and the newly named Fiserv Forum to ones that are just underway, like the BMO Harris Tower on Water Street.
The changes have affected the city's cultural facilities as well. The Oriental Theater is undergoing major renovations under its new ownership. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is at work on renovating the Grand Theater as its new venue. And the Milwaukee Art Museum built a new addition, which opened not that long ago, to ease a then-looming crisis in storing its vast collection.
The Milwaukee Public Museum is dealing with a similar issue in the space it's occupied for more than 50 years. The museum announced several months ago it's starting the planning process to build and move to a new facility. More recently, museum leaders unveiled some design concepts as they plan for how to fund the project. Dennis Coyce is president and CEO of the Milwaukee Public Museum. Nice to see you.
Thanks so much for having me back, Mitch.
So I think anyone who has been to the Milwaukee Public Museum in recent years has been actually pretty impressed by the state of things, the upgraded streets of old Milwaukee, the traveling exhibits like the Mayan Civilization exhibit. Walking through the building, I don't know that the casual observer would sense that anything is anything but just fine. So why do you see this as such a pivotal time for the museum?
Well, so I think, you know, that's a great point. And our visitors do, I think, see an institution they love and they care about. But behind the scenes, we've got a staff of heroes, I would say, who are working really hard to protect the collections that we hold in the public trust, those 4 million specimens and artifacts and objects that are irreplaceable you can't place a value on those. The staff are working hard behind the scenes to protect those, and they're protecting them from the failures of the building and a facility that really has outlived its useful life. And that's not the fault of anyone. The museum has worked hard to maintain the facility, the county has worked hard to maintain it, but those staff are fighting every day to protect those collections from problems that the building wreaks on them.
What are we talking about here?
We are talking about water leaks from 6-year-old pipes that burst over collections areas. We are talking about mold issues from a building that was not built to sort of museum standards even in its day, thanks to some value engineering that went on. We were talking about temperature swings. We were talking about, just a range of issues that slowly but surely are degrading and destroying museum collections. And our job as a museum is to care for those collections so that they're around 100, 500, 1,000 years from now, hopefully, for people to research and utilize. And so it's the building itself, I think we've done a good job of keeping up appearances, but ultimately, there's only so far you can go with that. And I think we've figured out and the county's figured out it's time for some changes.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like this is one of those times where the cliche or the tip of the iceberg is really appropriate, or the metaphor that for everything that we see that's on display at a museum, there must be dozens of things that we don't see.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we've got 4 million objects in the collections, give or take. And, of those 4 million, about 8%, I think, is our figure, are on display at any given time. That I might be off by a percent or two there. But it's less than 10%. And the reason for that is not because we would show all 4 million if we could. That could be a really boring museum. There'd be a lot. But it's because the rest of those collections are for research. And the value in them is they are like a living library of life. And so the staff we have behind the scenes, I think the iceberg metaphor is apt. The people behind the scenes or below the waterline, if you will, are the folks who are doing research on those collections. So they're the people that are partnering up with UWM or Marquette or scientists in upstate Wisconsin looking at, why are bees not pollinating cranberry crops in northern Wisconsin, which is a huge economic issue and a huge, biologic issue and something we're still struggling to understand. The only way you can understand that is to compare bee DNA from 100 years ago to bee DNA collected from that same county today. So that's the stuff that goes on with those collections. We definitely would not show them all, and we don't have a plan to show them all. The future.
Well, so someone might ask then, why is it the role of a museum in the 21st century to do things like that, to be the repository of materials that are being used for research, as opposed to an institution like UW-Madison or Marquette or UWM or any of the institutions upstate?
I think, museums are our culture's way of handling material culture, right? So we are not a repository of books or of knowledge in the sort of abstract sense. We're a repository story of these physical, tangible things. So we're the place that doesn't have the story of the meteor that fell to Earth and landed in a farmer's field in Wisconsin. We're the place that has the actual meteor that you can take a slice off of and study, you know, this 4-billion-year-old object that fell from outer space. So, you know, that primary research, that's what museums are there to do and to facilitate. And that's what those collections are so good for.
You said the museum and the county and everybody involved has done its best to try to deal with what it has. How long has this situation been building where the museum is really, the building is outliving its usefulness?
You know, it's one of those things I think it takes a while for everyone to sort of scratch their head and say, you know, what are the challenges we're facing and why do we need to address this? I think, you know, for the museum, this dates back probably to the Public Policy Forum in Milwaukee, that great bipartisan organization did a report back in 2012 that quantified that the museum had at that point $30 million of deferred capital maintenance. So that's, you know, escalators that haven't been fixed, it's systems that haven't been able to be fixed, it's roofs that leak, all those kinds of things. And I think that's what got the museum starting to think about, is this facility really the right facility for us long term? And the more we looked into that and thought about that, the more we realized there are issues there beyond even just its care, but things like, is it the right facility for the kinds of technology museums need to use now and into the future? You know, could we renovate it? You know, I mean, we're a frugal organization. We're not going to try and do anything new unless we say, could we actually just take what we have and make it better? And so we looked at that. We looked at all kinds of options. But ultimately, you know, for a variety of reasons, moving into new facilities is clearly the path for us.
Are there already objects that have been compromised by the condition that the building is in?
So what I would say is there have certainly been objects that have been damaged by the condition, the facility itself. And we are very lucky in that we have a really talented staff and a really talented team. I would put our emergency response team up against any museum's emergency response team, which is not something you really want to talk about in the museum world because it implies a certain problem.
That there are emergencies.
That there are emergencies. But our team is really good. And so they have been able to rescue materials that have been damaged. You know, an example I would give you is we have this amazing collection of WPA era women's work quilts from the 1920s that the museum has had. And they're beautiful, and they all relate to Milwaukee families and Milwaukee history. They're all made here in the community. And we had a 50-year-old pipe burst that had kind of like a sludgy, greasy, you know, drain trap kind of a mess fall all over these quilts and, you know, stain them. And you know, we had a response team that went in there, you know, rolled them up, froze them to keep the liquid from percolating further through them. They all had to be sent to Chicago. They were conserved. Luckily, they were all saved. They all look as good as new. But it was a huge labor-intensive project, a huge expense. And, you know, it's just not what you want to see happening in a museum. So those kinds of things are what are giving us pause and saying it's time. Something's got to be changed.
Would you compare the situation in a way to what the art museum was dealing with before it built its new facility?
I think absolutely the case. You know, museums are held to a certain standard in the museum world to be accredited, to call themselves a museum. And only 5% of the museums in the United States are accredited, just like a hospital or a university is accredited. And we're accredited. And we want to make sure we keep that accreditation. And just like the art museum, they have the same challenges with some of the issues of their facilities. They needed to make some changes to keep their accreditation, keep on the right path, and we need to do that too.
How does public ownership of the museum both enhance and complicate the process of seeking a new space?
You know, I think for us, I see it only as a positive. And from the standpoint, yes, it is more complicated from the sense of we are truly a public institution. And so I think having a public voice in our process is really, really important for us. We want to hear from the visitors. We want to hear from government officials. We need to understand what the state thinks, the county thinks, the mayor thinks, our donors, and then the visiting public. And so, you know, on some level, yes, that's more complicated than if we were just a private nonprofit and we could say, you know, we really only care about what our donors think. But ultimately, it's also going to lead to a better outcome because it's going to create something that reflects what the community wants and also reflects some reality of what's sustainable for Milwaukee. And I think that's a challenge in Milwaukee that a lot of nonprofits are grappling with and we as a community are grappling with, is how to create sustainable long-term trajectories for some of these institutions in our community that we all care about, whether it's the domes or the public museum or the symphony. You know, how do you make sure those things are sustained and cared for over the course of a long period of time that, you know, exceeds our lifetimes? I think, you know, a public process is going to help us make sure that what we come to is going to do that.
You mentioned the state, and we think of this as the Milwaukee Public Museum, but you make the case that the state at large benefits from the museum and that the state ought to play a role in the financing for a new facility. Explain what that means. Why is this more than either a city of Milwaukee or a Milwaukee County issue and is more of a, you know, involves the state?
I would absolutely argue that it does involve the state. And I would argue, in fact, that, you know, the name of the museum, the Milwaukee Public Museum, is a little bit of a misnomer. I mean, I'm proud to be a Milwaukeean and have this place, but fundamentally it's Wisconsin's Natural History Museum. It's Wisconsin's public museum. It's the only major research-based natural history museum in the state. You know, doing original research behind the scenes with collections of anywhere close to that scale, that research benefits the whole state. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, research on cranberry crops and economic, you know, the economics of that for our state. You know, we are training museum professionals through the museum studies program we run with UWM that go out and work in historic societies and institutions all over the state. We have collections from every county. We have visitors from every county, and I think impact the state on a really wide basis. There is nothing else like it in our state. And in fact, I'd point out, you know, that a lot of nearby states would love to have a major research-based natural history museum. There isn't one on this scale in Minnesota. There isn't one on this scale in Michigan. So it's a really unique resource that Milwaukee and Wisconsin has, and we really want to make sure we keep it. So I think, you know, it is Wisconsin's Natural History Museum. It's going to have to be thought of on a statewide level. And I think our fundraising is going to have to be thought of on a statewide level. And ultimately, very few major institutions like MPM create new facilities without some mechanism of state-level support. And so we're really making that case in Madison.
You have taken the steps of releasing some design concepts. How should we view that effort at this stage, considering that the financial framework is not yet in place?
I think, you know, what you can read into those efforts, you know, those are concepts in the true sense that what the building's going to look like may not be anything like what those concepts look like, because that may not be the architect we, in fact, end up using. But we were really excited to work with Matt Rinka at Rinka Chung. You know, he was generous enough to donate his services because he grew up running around the museum and pressing the snake button. And, you know, what they are for us is kind of a philosophical, you know, premise, if you will, of what do we want this thing to look like and feel like. And for us, the things I would read into it, if I was looking at those as a member of the public, are, you know, we want it to be transparent and feel like it's of the streetscape. We want it to be a really nice piece of architecture. We don't want it to be a closed box and feel closed to the street and closed to the world. It's about kind of opening up knowledge and ideas. I think we want it to be family friendly. We want it to be on public transportation networks. We need it to work as a business for us. So things like parking revenue and event space and things are important to us to make sure it's sustainable for those long-term issues. So I think you can kind of read it as like it's a philosophical statement of intent, but it's not the literal thing that we are going to create at this point.
One cannot help but look at that and say, this looks like it is on top of Veterans Park.
That is actually not where it's going to go. I can state that with some certainty. I'm sure to the relief of veterans and probably the art museum too. That is not what we intend. We did release a different concept that a particular architecture firm, Zimmerman Studios, also did gratis, very graciously. But they picked that site and designed for that site as kind of a thought exercise for their own teams, and then shared that with us. So that doesn't imply that that's where we're going to go. We are still looking at sites around the city.
Downtown is important, though.
Downtown is important. We've been downtown for 150 years, I think downtown is important to us. So we've identified sort of a range of how far from downtown we would be willing to go, but it's not very far. And we're looking at a range of sites and evaluating those against the kinds of criteria we have for accessibility and a part of town that our audience feels welcome and that you can get to on public transport and school kids can get to, and all those kinds of things that we need to have work for us.
Is there a certain importance in having it close to the other iconic museums of Milwaukee, the Art Museum, Discovery World, the things in that part of the city?
You can make, I think, a case for and a case against those kinds of cultural campuses. Anyone who's been down to Chicago and experienced the lakefront campus of museums down there, you know, that's a great experience and a great idea. There's also some interesting research that talks about the fact that those kinds of campus, build-outs create situations where the visitor, you know, your public will kind of tend to go to one institution a year and say, okay, well, I've been down to the cultural campus this year. Next year, we'll do the other museum and the other one after that. Whichever way you go, I think, you know, the lakefront's still, a place we're going to look, and it's not specifically Veterans Park. It's other parts of the lakefront. But there are other parts of downtown as well that I think are important. So for us, it's more important that it serve our audience and what our audience wants than that it is tied to other cultural institutions specifically.
This would be, I think, the fifth space for the museum in its history. Is it too much to ask a museum to commit to someplace being its forever home, for lack of a better term?
I think it's tough to ask anybody to commit to this being your forever home. And I think any homeowner would put it to that, right? Your situation changes, your needs change, so eventually we all end up moving in our lives over time. But it is, I think that fact alone does surprise some people in the community. I think a lot of people think of it, if they grew up coming to the museum in the 60s and 70s, they think, oh, it's always been down there. And they're surprised to learn that there's a whole nother batch of Milwaukeeans who remember it being in what's now the public library downtown. And I don't know there's many people left alive that remember it before that, but it had multiple homes before that in other parts of downtown. So, these are living institutions. It's going to have a vibrant future life. And I think what's really important to us is whatever we do, we bring along what makes the public museum special. You could build a great new museum somewhere in downtown Milwaukee that would be a great museum for any other city, but Milwaukeeans would come there and say, oh, this is terrible. It doesn't feel anything like the public museum that I love. The public museum has a special kind of weird gestalt to it, weird vibe to it. And we've got to make sure we bring that into the future. So the snake button and the streets and the things that people love, the best of those do come with us. And that feeling comes with us, but it's got to be a contemporary institution.
Who owns the space that the building is in now, and how might the disposal of that space help finance a new space? I guess that's that's the end of that question.
Question.
Right. How could the current space contribute to the creation of a new space?
Absolutely. So the building that we are in now is owned by Milwaukee County, as is the land under it, in essence. And there's a few parts of the museum that technically the museum owns, but they all revert to the county if we were to vacate that site. So it becomes the county's site to then figure out what to do with. And the county is doing a lot of planning around MacArthur Square and what needs to happen there with a courthouse and other kinds of facilities. So I think they're thinking about this within the larger context of what they need to do, but there's no immediate cash cow you can look at and say, oh, we could sell that to turn it into a 40-story hotel complex and use that to finance a new museum. There's no path on that. Ultimately, it is public land, and it will be put to public use as the county supervisors and the county executives see fit. So I wish there were a path on that, but there's not.
If I understand correctly, you're hoping to break ground on the new facility by 2022. Look at the next 6 months. What is in motion that you want to accomplish between, say, now and the end of the year?
I'd say, over the coming months, what you're going to see, without giving any hard deadlines yet, but, we are really intensely looking at site. What is the right location for this? Because ultimately, that's got to lead everything else. You can't design for a site you don't have. You can't fundraise for a site you don't have. So site and where it goes downtown, I think, is probably priority number one. Priority number two is really making the case at the state level that the museum and the public that uses the museum and our state is worthy of having this institution, is worthy of state-level support. And I'm really encouraged by the support the state is putting behind the State Historic Society in Madison. That is an institution that is also statewide, just like MPM, and the state has committed and said, we will put $70 million into a new museum in Madison for the State Historic Society if this society can raise $50 million. And that's on top of them putting about $47 million into collection storage for the Historic Society. And that is for an institution that gets about half the visitors or less than we do, and for a collection that is, sort of physically about half the size, I think, give or take, of what we have. And so I'm hopeful that the state will choose to make that kind of investment and we'll find a path forward. And I think we're hearing really good, thoughtful feedback from the state, and we're trying to make sure we find a solution that works for everybody.
Dennis Coyce, thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thanks so much for having me, Mitch.
Dennis Coyce is president and CEO of the Milwaukee Public Museum. You can see some of the renderings of design concepts for a new museum campus at wuwm.com.